A man who was on a long road trip walked into a restaurant in a strange town, somewhat exhausted from the road. The waiter came and asked him for his order, and suddenly a wave of tremendous loneliness and isolation washed over the man. And so he replied to the waiter, "Meatloaf and a kind word." When the waiter returned with the meatloaf and was turning away, the man said, "Where's the kind word?" The waiter sighed, bent down, and whispered, "Don't eat the meatloaf." There is a saying that has always touched my heart, but one that I fail at every day, but try to aspire to, and the saying is, kindness without honesty is not really kindness, and honesty without kindness is not really honesty. Psalm 16, verse 24 reminds us that kind words are like honey, sweet to the taste and good for your health. But Psalm 19 reminds us and warns us, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much pure gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, your servant is warned by them. In keeping them, there is great reward. I've always applied this psalm to the three scrutinies that we have been leading our elect through. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, is what Jesus gave the woman at the well and her whole village when she brought them to Jesus. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, is what Jesus gave the man born blind when he gave him sight, when he removes our spiritual blindness and gives us true sight. And the judgments of the Lord are true. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether, is what we are offered in the freedom of our being raised from the dead. But the fact is aiming to be kind rather than honest often ends up being unkind. Real kindness requires us to be honest with both ourselves and others, even if that is painful and hard. For Jesus himself in his very person is kindness and honesty, mercy incarnate. And as he tells the man he healed at Bethesda that we heard in the gospel this week, at one of the daily masses, he said, "Go and do not sin again, so that nothing worse happens to you." The world and its deceiver want to portray that as intolerant and hateful. The world is always, and the evil one deceiving, always wants to lead us away from life. But how do they accomplish that? Proverbs 29, verse 5 gives us some insight. One who flatters his neighbor is spreading a snare for his steps. And as Psalm 5 warns, there is nothing trustworthy in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is a wide open grave. They flatter with their tongue. But the very first verse of the very first psalm gives us better counsel. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. So much confusion over flattery can be solved by understanding what flattery actually is in the right way. When that question is firmly resolved in our hearts, everything else falls into place. And the word flattery here means to be smooth and slippery. The idea behind this word is that of being faithless, to flatter or to be smooth. Flattery, therefore, is smooth and slippery speech, but speech that is meant to lull someone into a false sense of security. The compliment is never genuine. It is meant to disarm someone so that they do not see the trap. The words are subterfuge like leaves and brush, hiding a trap from view. The animal sees the leaves and the brush and thinks that this is just a normal trail. So the compliment is there to have the one who hears it thinks all is well. Unfortunately, the animal doesn't see the trap until it's too late, until they are caught already. Neither does the unwise one whose pride and ego receive the praise without question and unwittingly step into the trap. The best example of that is this. The serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. For God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be just like God, knowing good and evil." All false flattery comes from the devil, and our Lord Jesus warns us not to be like the devil when he warned his own people, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies." This is a stunning revelation, but also kindness and honesty. For the fact is false flattery murdered the human race. The murderer hates all of us, and he wants no peace for us. He does not want our progress, but our destruction. So he tries to flatter us into forgetting that, and a whole generation of secularists, those who have departed from the living God, have succumbed to the devil's deception, and Hollywood has helped it like on steroids. For Hollywood, which is a paragon of false flattery, cannot dress the devil up in TV shows and present him as just a well-dressed, misunderstood, tragic hero. That is the falsest flattery aimed at our own destruction. And there is no kindness in that. So we must be able to discern and know the difference between kindness with honesty and false flattery. For false flattery does not allow correction. And we see a world that is increasingly being opposed to any kind of self-correction or correction personally from others, you're harming my self-esteem. Whereas it is the prudent and wise child who accepts chastisement from the God who chastises the son and daughter he loves. And we see something of that in our encounter today with the death of Lazarus that oftentimes is kind of glossed over because of the miracle that Jesus shows us to show us his power. For we could go back to an earlier encounter in Scripture when they were at Martha and Mary's and Lazarus' house in Bethany. And Mary was sitting at the feet of our Lord, and Martha, aggravated by the fact that she was doing all of the works of hospitality, came to Jesus and said, "Make my lazy sister here get up and help me." And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things. There is only need of one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her." That was kindness and honesty. But today we see it bear some incredible fruit. For the fact is, for whatever reason, when Jesus was approaching, it was not Mary who got up and ran to Jesus, but Martha, that allowed her to receive this incredible revelation from Jesus Christ, but then for her to also to make a profession of faith that rivals St. Peter's at Caesarea Philippi. And the revelation she receives is that when she acknowledges that her brother is going to rise on the last day, Jesus tells her and us, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even in death, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Then he asks her and asks us, "Do you believe this?" The whole of our Lenten journey, and the matter of fact, the whole of our spiritual life is to acquire this belief. And it's a powerful one. For just this week, I lost two of my dearest friends, my Uncle Russ and Barb Ellenberger, a friend from and former parishioner from St. Paul Onaway, but who was here every Thursday and Friday that she could be here. She had MS. We also lost one who I had just met, one of our own parishioners, Doris Sadowski. And immediately meeting her, because I always try to live by another revelation we hear from Jesus today, and I don't know if you caught it, because nowhere in the Scripture does it say anything about the relationship of the disciples and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, just as Jesus loved them. But when Jesus is speaking to his followers, he says, "Our friend Lazarus is sick." Which means any friend of Jesus has to be our friend too. And so I had met Doris for the first time when I was giving her viaticum and extreme unction. But I loved her with the heart of Christ because she is a friend of Jesus. So she is also our friend. But it's so important because in the rite of committal, we acknowledge at the petitions exactly what Jesus reveals to us in Martha. Do you believe that if you believe in me and live, you will never die? I struggle to keep that faith at the core of my being. And quite frankly, if it took the correction of Jesus, the correction of God, for Martha to be open to that, then I want God to correct me every day. For knowing the difference between that kindness and honesty and the false flattery of the deception of the devil, I want to know the difference. For the difference is truly the difference between day and night, light and darkness, love and hate, Christ and Antichrist, and the revelation that Jesus Christ in his very person is God's truth, mercy and kindness made flesh for us.